Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Turns out New Jersey, birthplace of Edison's electric light bulb, is a far less friendly place for the luxury electric car company, Tesla. The New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commissioner passed a rule this week banning car companies from selling directly to customers. The state is the latest battleground over where you can buy a Tesla car, and Tesla is losing. But why can't we bypass the middleman? Joining us now is Hunter Walker, politics editor for Business Insider. He's been covering the story and its political underbelly. Hunter, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And the background here, if you haven't heard this, folks, is that if any of our New Jersey listeners, and I have a feeling probably any of our listeners, have been thinking about buying one of Tesla's Model S electric cars with a starting sticker price of around $70,000, by the way, you better hurry up. The company has to close its two Garden State stores by April 1st. But let's back up and talk about how car sales are regulated, because this is an issue that many people may not realize is so fraught or is even an issue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing I was surprised to find out, I was talking with a former congressman the other day, and federally, the car dealers lobby is one of the most powerful out there. It's one of the top givers to Congress. And at the state level, it's the same thing. In New Jersey, we found that CARPAC, which is the political action committee by the New Jersey Coalition for Automotive Retailers, has given almost $700,000 to New Jersey politicians in a span of like 6 years. And so the reason for that is they're trying to stave off attempts from people who car companies that would want to sell cars directly and cut out that middleman.
So cut out that middleman. I mean, why do we need that middleman? We can buy an iPod directly from Apple.com.
Right.
We don't have to go to Radio Shack.
Right.
Why can't we buy a Tesla from Tesla?
Well, the CARPAC in Jersey, the president of that organization, Jim Appleton, has argued that the dealer basically serves as a consumer advocate, and that especially with the warranty and repairs, dealers are paid to fulfill those contracts, whereas the manufacturer, it's sort of just an expense and headache for them. I think Tesla's in a more unique situation because, you know, when they launched in 2006, they've slowly started to roll out a larger and larger slate of cars. They're attempting to build this supercharger infrastructure all across the country so people can take longer road trips with electric cars. And there's a lot of R&D built into the technology of their cars and the infrastructure that they're trying to build. So, you know, for Tesla, they're trying to make up those costs, and sales could be a good way to do that.
If you can't buy a Tesla from Tesla, can you go to Ford directly and buy a Taurus or something?
Not in New Jersey. And there's a couple other states around the country that have these laws that sort of require franchises. Interestingly, though, you know, as I was saying, Tesla seems to have more incentive to want to sell directly than other manufacturers. In both in Germany and the States, car manufacturers have sort of experimented with setting up their own shops. And the result seems to have been that they found it was more effective to actually work with franchises because the employees, when they were not working within a corporate structure and were able to work in a more commission-based environment, actually sold more cars.
And listeners, we can take some phone calls on this. Anyone listening work for a car dealership? 212-433-4333. WNYC, should you have a legal monopoly on selling cars so the car companies cannot sell directly to their customers? 212-433-9692. Or any Tesla owners out there or anyone else, tell us what you think about this whole Tesla tussle. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Why does Tesla care? Maybe you were just getting at this a little bit, but why don't they just set up dealerships with big American flags like everyone else?
Well, as I was saying, I think they've had a lot of R&D costs over the years that they're eager to make up. Also, their cars have seem not to have much maintenance, so they don't seem to have sort of the worry about the warranty costs that other dealers might have. Also, why they might be particularly focused on Jersey. I mean, as I said, this seems to be a problem in other states, And Paul LeBeau of CNBC reported right after this, you know, situation sort of burst onto the scene that Tesla doesn't seem to be attempting to lobby federally yet. So they seem specifically concerned about Jersey. And the reason for that is that these two store locations, one in the Short Hills Mall and one in Paramus, have done disproportionately good sales for Tesla. And also, if you look at that map of the supercharger infrastructure that I was talking about, you can see that New Jersey and Connecticut are really one of the key areas they're focusing on as they build that out between now and 2015. And I think, you know, the reason for that is clear to anybody in this area. Jersey has a huge, huge, huge commuter population. Tesla has also started with sort of high-end cars and is planning to roll out a $30,000 model later on. And so if you're looking for high-end commuters who want expensive cars, Jersey and Connecticut is really the heart of your market.
John in Bradley Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hey, Brian. Thanks. I just bought an electric car, a Chevy Volt. Of course, I got it at a dealership, but we should be doing everything we can to promote electric automobiles. I mean, they're great. You know, to add to this, Tesla owners say they love their cars more than anybody, and Consumer Reports gave it a fantastic rating. It's really outrageous to me that people that always talk about government regulations hampering businesses, well, they're, you know, right now they're thwarting businesses from growing and just protecting an entrenched business interest. And it's just complete hypocrisy, and it really bothers me.
Right. It seems like a form of crony capitalism. Is Governor Christie on the record one way or another?
Well, what Governor Christie's office has said is that they told Tesla from the beginning when they set up shop in Jersey about a year ago that they would need to engage with the legislature. Now, here we're getting into a bit of he said, she said, because Tesla has basically said, no, we were told that, you know, Governor Christie was going to sort of take care of this for us. And in the one sense, that would seem to make sense, given that the Motor Vehicle Commission has four appointees from the governor. The other members are non-voting member and members of the governor's cabinet. So it would seem that Christie controls that commission. On the other hand, if they want to revise law, they can do that from the legislature. And, you know, we did a report looking at the lobbying that CARPAC has done. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars over the past couple of years. Tesla has not spent a dollar.
And why not? I think your figures are CARPAC, the New Jersey Coalition of Automotive Retailers, gave about $700,000 to politicians and campaign committees in the Garden State from 2003 to 2009 to both Democrats and Republicans, we should add. But, you know, I mean, come on. Tesla founder Elon Musk is so rich that he has a private rocket company working on getting to Mars. He's got a net worth of around $12 billion from what I've read. Why isn't he throwing more cash at this problem in the form of campaign contributions?
It's really incredible. I mean, this is a guy who has figured out how to launch his own rockets into space, and he doesn't seem to have figured out the Jersey State House. You know, one thing that I've sort of gotten a sense here is that there's almost a, you know, Silicon Valley is known as this, you know, very libertarian culture. And I think their attitude has been sort of, we don't need to engage with these people. Our product is great. It's great for Jersey. Let's just show up and we won't have a problem. But, you know, that's really not the way things work. On the other hand, I would say Christie has kind of branded himself as someone who would be very, very friendly to the free market. And he didn't get any donations himself from CARPAC. So you would kind of see him as a natural ally for Tesla, and that hasn't happened here.
We've got a Tesla owner on the line, Marvin in Bridgehampton. Hi, Marvin. You're on WNYC.
Hi, gentlemen. Two things. Number one, I bought a Tesla in December, took delivery about 3 weeks ago, and I'm blessed with having multiple cars. This is the finest car I've ever owned.
Why?
First of all, I love the electric theory. There's about 1,500 less moving parts in this electric car than there are in any internal combustion engine. It's got phenomenal horsepower, torque, performance, handling. It's a sophisticated aluminum body. It has all the five-star ratings. No other car has it. I think it's a wonderful automobile.
You're hired for the next Tesla commercial. Who'd you buy it from?
I bought it in, I just want to say Springfield. I got it at the Paramus Mall, the Garden State Mall, and I picked it up in a town, I think, called Springfield. I'm not positive. My wife could tell you better.
So
than
is
I.
that to say directly from Tesla as opposed to a dealership?
Yes, there are no dealerships. And by the way, as I said earlier, I'm blessed. I have multiple cars. Every car I've ever bought has always been through a dealership. And many times they're not bad experiences, but they're never wonderful experiences. Let me share one with you with Tesla. There was a minor leak in the rear backup light. I called up just to tell them about it. They said, we're going to send out what they call a ranger. I said, what is that? We're going to send somebody to your house to fix it. If you want, we'll give you another car. It'll take about 2 hours. I felt guilty. I said, no, please don't do that. When I have a chance, I'll drop by. There's no need to send somebody out. But it was such a one. I never had that from a car dealer. Let me share one other thing. Brian, I was a little shocked to hear you say what you said 5 minutes ago.
What?
About Elon Musk. You said he's got $12 billion. Why doesn't he, in quotes, give some to the legislature, the people in the legislature? I don't think you really mean that. I've heard you say so many times, and I applaud you for it, that lobbying is not necessarily in the best interest of the consumer or the citizen.
Marvin, I totally get your point. I'm only asking, given the rules of the game as they exist, why he didn't decide to play, because he seems like a competitive guy. So why didn't he get in there against the other side, not to endorse in any way this notion of policy by campaign contribution. But Marvin, thank you for a very intriguing call. And so... Put Marvin into perspective here. Where do you go? I mean, okay, you buy a $70,000 car. Maybe the car dealership is going to – or the company is going to send a ranger to your house with a replacement car while they fix the backup taillight.
Right.
But in general, where do you go if not the dealership, because there is no dealership in the model that Tesla wants to use, after you buy the car and something goes wrong?
Well, you know, it's going to be very interesting for people like Marvin who bought their cars at these two existing shops in Jersey, because those are going to have to get shut down right now. And, you know, the MVC and CarPack has maintained that those licenses shouldn't have been issued in the first place. So I think, you know, he would probably, if he has a problem with his car in the future, he would need to go to, I think Tesla has showrooms in Connecticut. Somewhere out of state. But, you know, one question someone might ask who's listening to this is, okay, let's say you have to buy the car out of state. So what, right? And the problem with this is, you know, let's say I live in Texas, for example, where I would have to sort of go out of state to buy a Tesla. The way the sales tax and registration costs ends up getting worked, I sort of get dinged twice when I buy that car, because once I bring it into Texas, I still have to pay registration and I have to pay sales tax.
Because, in fact, Texas and Arizona are the other two states that have done what New Jersey just did and forbid Tesla from selling directly to consumers. They have to go through dealerships, right?
Right. And there's been a couple states where there have been lawsuits over Tesla's attempts to sell directly. And Tesla's basically won some and lost some. So it would seem, given, as I said, CNBC was reporting that right now they have no intention to lobby federally. I've been sort of reaching out to them over the past 2 days asking, you know, what they're going to do now in Jersey and whether they want to approach it federally. They seem more content to approach this through the courts, which is interesting given that they haven't had 100% success rate there.
And the Texas law is really weird from what I've read. It prevents Tesla from selling cars, but they can have galleries to display their cars. Employees can apparently talk about electric cars in general at these galleries, but they can't give any information about buying one.
Right, right. It's, you know, it's almost like an electric car museum. And, you know, I think for Tesla, they would love to step into that market because you have such a large state. It's such a car culture. But, you know, I don't think that matters to them as much as sort of the Eastern Seaboard here.
So in Texas, if you want a Tesla or an abortion, you have to go out of state.
You know, you took the words out of my mouth. I didn't want to say that. But, you know, it's very similar in a weird way to these abortion laws they have there, where you can technically get it, or you can go to an abortion clinic, but there's all these bizarre restrictions that prevent the way you can really do that.
Hunter Walker from Business Insider talking about New Jersey's decision this week to stop Tesla as of April 1st from selling directly to consumers in the state. They'll have to go through car dealerships. And here's a car dealer in New Jersey to push back on this whole thing. Frank in Chester, I'm so glad you called. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Brian, in all respect to Mr. Your guest, he doesn't know what he's talking about. For openers, all right, if you buy a car in Texas, you don't pay tax twice. Number two, Texas is one of the highest volume states for the sale of Tesla right now, as New Jersey will continue to be. What we're dealing with here is the rule of law. This law is in effect. You know, let me give you a parallel. You broadcast over a certain bandwidth. If I decide I wanted to open up my own radio transmission and transmit over your bandwidth, you'd immediately go and say, wait a minute, that's against the law. You can't do that. You have to take and conform to the same things that I do. That's basically all the New Jersey dealers are asking to do. Tesla just has to establish a service facility, appoint dealers, and they could continue to sell cars in the state of New Jersey. I must tell you, your guest, he may be a very good commentator, but he does not know the automobile business.
What's the difference, Frank, between what you just described and Tesla selling directly to customers without the dealership? Why do you care?
Why do I care? Because of the fact that Tesla does not have a service facility or any place to service the cars. Plus the fact that, like every manufacturer, they don't have the same interest, all right, in taking care of the local community. Right now, Tesla is only selling to the ultra wealthy. I get the biggest kick out of the fact that everyone's griping about the 1%, and now we are looking at the 1% who is buying these cars and feel that they really have been taken advantage of or something because they can't go directly. If you can go in and buy an Apple phone, all right, but if your Apple phone dies, you take it back to them. The first thing they tell you is, this got wet, or, oh, I'm awfully sorry, but this was a problem, and you're out of luck. There's nothing you can do, and I know people have had that experience at Apple. All right, you go to a dealer, and there is a problem. That dealer wants to make sure you're a local customer, that you're going to be cared for because he wants you to come back and buy another vehicle.
Does it threaten? But if that model is not working for the consumers, then the consumers will presumably stop buying directly from manufacturers. Does Tesla doing this threaten your business? I don't know what cars you sell, but is it because you're afraid that those car companies will put you out of business and start selling directly to consumers?
Brian, for over, I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm not afraid of anything. But the reality is that the marketplace, the manufacturers tried that in the 70s. Ford did it with Blue Oval. Cadillac tried to do it. They bought up dealership groups. They lost their shirt, and the customer complaints for those facilities were much higher than the local dealers. The question of fear, it's a question of fairness. All right? You have 17,000 dealers around the country who have made tremendous financial investments in their facilities. They support the local communities. They employ hundreds of thousands of people, right? And now we have a fellow coming along who decides he wants a new way of distributing vehicles, and he's not going to conform with the law.
I hear you. Frank, I'm going to leave it there. I really appreciate your call. Keep calling us. And Hunter Walker from Business Insider. So he makes the point about service. He's mm-hmm. trying to argue that it's in the consumer's interest.
Right.
And maybe that would sort itself out, as he said it did when they tried this a few decades ago and the customers revolted. There is another argument that the dealers use, which to my mind might be even better, which is that the car company would have the ability to set price without competition. If you have Ford dealer X over here and Ford dealer Y a few miles away and Ford dealer Z another town away, they're going to compete on price, at least within the parameters that they can, to attract customers. If you just have Ford and General Motors and Tesla selling cars directly, they can establish one price and demand it, can't they?
Well, yes and no. I mean, they're still competitive with each other. So, I think there is a plausible argument that, you know, the Apple example he cited was quite good. But clearly, you know, it's funny, the past two callers, it's like one has been a spokesperson for CarPack, the other was a spokesman for Tesla.
Right.
You know, obviously Marvin thinks he had a very great service experience.
We should
with Tesla.
Say Marvin's car is 3 weeks old. Is that what he said?
Yeah, so, but that point he made about the lack of moving parts is very important in terms of what they see as the overall lack of maintenance costs. And I think if we're going to, one thing that's very interesting, as I said to you, I've tried to talk to Tesla and they have really been shut down over the last 2 days. But if we're going to see major changes in what we're driving on the roads, there are going to be these R&D costs. And, you know, if car manufacturers think they need a new model to offset that, we may be stifling innovation in the automobile sphere if we don't allow them to do so.
All right. There you have it. If you want to buy a Tesla directly from Tesla in New Jersey, you have to do it by April 1st because then the law changes or the rules change and you'll have to do it through a dealership. We thank Hunter Walker, political editor for Business Insider. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, a very special guest, best-selling novelist Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie on being African-American versus American-African and other themes from her book Americana about immigration, race, and the American dream. Stay with us.